16 minutes after 3 o'clock. Got your downtown show on a Tuesday afternoon.
Well, East Coast girls are hip. I really dig those styles they wear.
Rich Kimble, Ryan Waning with you live at Seasons Main Street in Bangor. 23-plus hours have passed since the Major League Baseball trading deadline yesterday. And, well, ample time for us to take a look at who did well, who's got some work to do, but we'll be joined in that effort by somebody who knows a heck of a lot more than us. He is Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. Matt, good afternoon.
Hey, it is a good afternoon. I have a lot less to do right now,
yeah,
so that's always good.
Yeah, yesterday had to be a little crazy. My gosh, why do they wait? It's not like all deals have to be made in the 45 minutes prior to the deadline, but it seems that's the case year in and year out.
Yeah, I think it's because when you get up against the clock, you finally have to either give in or pull the trigger. You know, something like, it's like if you're trying to pick out a new TV and you just can't decide between these three, and all of a sudden somebody says, dude, you have 30 seconds. Then you're like, all right, I'll take that one. I think it gets to the point where they're like, all right, it's time to make a decision right now. Are we going to do this or are we going to say no? And I think there's probably a lot of people who do say no, and there's a lot of trades that were really close that didn't come to fruition. But it's amazing how all of a sudden there's just that flurry in that last hour there. What was it, like 7 yesterday in the last hour? It was ridiculous.
Well, to carry your analogy further, so the Texas Rangers apparently decided, we'll take 2 TVs, thank you very much.
Yeah.
They went out and got Beltran and Lucroy. What was the Lucroy trade surprising to you?
Not that they got Lucroy. The fact that they went out and actually added a very good late innings reliever in Jeremy Jeffress as well, that part was surprising to me, and that was a great move. Just to kind of say, look, our offense is going to be awesome. It was already pretty good, but they lost Prince Fielder. You don't know how Joey Gallo is going to pan out. He's a high strikeout guy. Instead, they go out and they get Beltran to DH, Lucroy to catch, and they have a catcher problem all season. They've got nothing behind the plate offensively. Now they get one of probably the best offensive catcher behind Buster Posey. So that's huge. But pitching's been an issue for them, and the rotation is kind of torn apart. The bullpen ERA was 4.78 heading into yesterday, which is way too high if you're planning on being in the playoffs. So they go out, they get that bullpen depth, move all the guys in the bullpen up an inning. That makes things all the better for the entire team.
So with the moves from yesterday and in the days preceding the deadline, have the Rangers and the Indians put themselves ahead of everybody else in the American League?
I'd have to say so right now. I mean, a week ago at this time, I would have told you the Astros are probably going to take the AL West, but now it's the Rangers have gotten hot. Now they made those moves. They're up 5.5 games. I think they are sitting pretty comfortably right now. If you look at the AL East, I can see the Blue Jays or Red Sox getting really hot and making a run at them. The Orioles, I just don't see it in the rotation. You can only survive on home runs and back end of the bullpen so far, and it's admirable that they're in first place right now. But I don't see him holding on to that, and I don't think that they would measure up in a playoff series against either the Indians or the Rangers. What if we get the Rangers-Blue Jays again in the playoffs, too, after the Odor punch on Batista? That would be pretty cool.
Absolutely. And now, in the midst of all this, the Yankees still aren't willing to say the word that they're sellers, although they got rid of 2/3 of their lockdown back of the bullpen and traded away a great solid outfielder, at least in Beltran. What kind of a bizarro world is it when the Yankees are selling off to the Indians?
I mean, believe it or not, they're actually getting smart and realizing that this isn't the so-called steroid era anymore. Players' primes right now are in their 20s, and a lot of those guys are, by the time they hit free agency, are starting to get to their down years. So you can't do the thing that they used to do anymore, where they waited for a bunch of guys to get to free agency, that they outbid everybody for them because they could because they're the Yankees, and then all of a sudden that makes them awesome in a World Series team. Like, kind of like 2009, they already had a good team in place, but they went out and got Sabathia and Burnett and Teixeira. You can't just cover up mistakes like that anymore, and I think Cashman probably knew that the last few years because they really could have spent big this past offseason knowing that the free agent class this coming offseason is terrible. But instead, he didn't spend. It's almost kind of like he was like, you know what, I'm drawing my line in the sand here. It's time to start over with this thing. And the fact that we even saw like Brian McCann's name in trade rumors says that they were willing to do a lot in order to look 2 or 3 years down the line, and that is way out of character for them.
Now, as far as the National League goes, the Dodgers had a couple of key pickups, getting Rich Hill along with Josh Reddick, and then the Mets with the Jay Bruce deal. Who made out best in the National League yesterday?
Yesterday, I kind of like the Dodgers. I think a lot of people are talking about the Giants because they got a lefty reliever, Will Smith, and they added Matt Moore, but Matt Moore is not nearly as good as his name. It kind of reverberates because, you know, he was one of the top three prospects in baseball along with Trout and Harper. And then when he came up, he went 17-4 in his second year, but there was a lot of good luck involved in that. And I think everybody still looks at him as kind of like an ace in waiting. I don't think that's the case. I think he's a 4 or 5. So that's a fine move. They definitely improved from Kane or Peavy, whoever they kick out of the rotation for him. But it doesn't move the needle to me like it does with the Dodgers adding Josh Reddick. They were getting nothing from right field. They need a change of scenery. And Reddick is very underrated. He gets on base. He hits for power. He's an exceptional defensive right fielder. Between him and Jock Peterson out there, anything even remotely not to left field is getting caught out there. So that's a big help to the pitching staff. You go out, Rich Hill's been exceptional ever since the Red Sox. You got a good look at him last year, the last 4 starts last year. He's been exceptional ever since then. I know he's had blister issues, but I think the A's were kind of holding him back so it didn't get hurt worse, so they would still be able to trade him. So with Kershaw being an unknown, you get a lefty like that. Obviously, he's not close to Clayton Kershaw, but I really liked what the Dodgers did. 2 games out, I wouldn't be surprised if they won that division. I do think both of those teams are playoff bound, though.
We're talking with Matt Snyder of CBS Sports. You mentioned the Dodgers' moves, and Yasiel Puig, a couple of years ago, one of the most highly regarded guys in the game of baseball, and now headed for the minors. What has happened to him? How much of this is mental as opposed to physical?
Some of it's got to be mental. I mean, even when he was a good player, it felt like the media, the local media there, always wanted to beat up on him for something. And it got to the point where now he says he's going to be a model citizen. And then you go out and he's just not the same player. I don't know if it's hard to know how his off-season workouts went. Did he kind of take his early success for granted? Maybe it was a fluke at first when he was really awesome because he didn't get signed to some of these huge deals like guys like Jose Abreu got. And everybody was kind of surprised by it. So maybe he really is maybe in the middle between what he was when he first came up to what he is now. Maybe he should be somewhere in the middle and maybe going down to the minors and working hard. And again, a change of scenery, I think all that stuff might kind of help change things up for him.
Matt, what contenders or which contenders didn't do enough or didn't make the right move at the deadline?
I'm going to go right back and look at the Orioles. They need rotation help. Maybe I think Dylan Bundy is going to continue to pitch pretty well. And once he gets stretched out more, he can go later into games. Maybe that will help him. I don't like the Wade Miley move at all. And some of that might not be their fault because there weren't really that many good starting pitchers on the market. And one of the main teams that was spinning starters was the Rays. They're probably not going to go in division to the Orioles. So maybe it wasn't their fault, but I can still say, hey, they didn't do enough because they need rotation help, and they didn't get any. I don't think Miley's rotation helped. So I think the Orioles are going to have to pay the piper here in terms of the rotation in a little bit. Wonder about the Tigers. Maybe it wouldn't have made so much sense for them to go all in because I think they're clearly outclassed by the Indians, but they're only 4 games out. They're only 1.5 out of the wild card, and they didn't really do anything. They could have used rotation help. I know Jordan Zimmermann's coming back from injury, but they still could have used another. But again, maybe it was just there was nobody out there. One thing I want to kind of call out is the White Sox. This team is stuck in neutral. Mm-hmm. It has been for years. If you're not going to get it turned around before Chris Sale hits the open market and he's doing a George Costanza routine where he's basically trying to get fired, in his case trying to get traded, I think it's time to do that. It's time to trade Sale, trade Quintana, bite the bullet, go through the rebuild. They probably would be able to jump right in front of the Twins in the rebuild anyway. The Royals are going to have to rebuild after next year because basically their entire roster is free agents. So they could have gotten ahead of this thing and gotten an absolute killing for Sale, especially with no starting pitchers on the market. And then you throw Quintana on there. They could have totally revamped their entire farm system and said they just completely stayed in neutral. The biggest guy they traded was Zach Duke. I mean, I don't understand it. I know it's tough to trade somebody like Sale, but you've got to make hard decisions. And I think this is a really big drop ball for the White Sox.
It's been an interesting approach for Red Sox fans, the way Dave Dombrowski has handled things, starting in the offseason where he made most of his major moves before people even realized they could start trading, and then doing much of his action prior to the deadline. He did pick up the lefty Abad from the Twins yesterday, and then made some interesting news last night by calling up young Andrew Benintendi from Double-A Portland as the hitter that they weren't able to get through trades. Has Dombrowski made enough moves and the right type of moves to have this team in contention into late September?
He has. Now the team needs to do their part, because if you look at the rotation, you've got to start getting more from guys like Eduardo Rodriguez. Pomeranz has to pitch better after the trade they made for him. And, you know, now that Kimbrel's back, maybe you start getting a little bit better in the bullpen. The Ziegler pickup has been really nice so far. That was a good one. I think that a lot of what the Red Sox do going forward is going to be determined just by the personnel that they have living up to their established levels of talent, because they have enough talent here to win the East. So do the Blue Jays. The Orioles are right there. You can't discount them. But the Red Sox have as much talent as anybody in this race, so they just need to go out and play. So it sounds really simplistic, but outside of bringing in Chris Sale, and it sounds like they did everything they could to do that without being stupid and reckless, I think that Dombrowski has done everything he can.
Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, a baseball columnist. Matt, get some rest today. Been a busy guy for the last 48 hours. Thanks, as always, for checking in with us, and we'll do it again soon.